Our world is magical. Games are magical. Open your eyes and prepare to discover how magic and games intersect.
Merry meet and welcome to Covenstead, a podcast about gaming and magic.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Covenstead podcast. I am Todd, your co-host and co-conspirator. Co-conspirator? Am I saying that right? Co-conspirator.
Yeah.
I'll just re-edit that and speed it up so it sounds totally normal. But anyways, it's me, Todd, the stumbling one. And I'm here with my partner in crime, Danny. Say hello, Danny.
Hello. Hello. I don't know. So what does that make me? If you're the... what does that make me?
I don't know. Is it kind of one of those things like, do we really need to have like kind of titles in the sense of just like, you know, like if this were some kind of organization, are we like co-presidents or some kind of thing like that?
Right.
Yeah. But I think in the meantime, we'll keep stumbling our way through this and then eventually we'll come to just be like, ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. Yes. Actually, I think the one that's really worked the best has been Coven Mate. That whole idea of, you know, like this is a coven of two we have in this particular case. And we have others who like to stop by and, you know, kind of leave us little notes online and everything else like that. So let's go with that. I'm here with my coven mate, Danny. Say hello again, Danny.
Hello again. What are we talking about today?
Well, we are going to be talking about the idea of identity and community. It's been one of those things where it's been something that's been on my mind quite a bit. And just before we started to hit record, you and I were kind of realizing is that it would be really good to talk about this as a kind of sister episode to our stigma episode that we did a while back. And the idea is that, you know, like both communities, you know, like the tabletop gaming community and the Wiccan pagan community, witches and everyone, share, you know, similar stigmas or even the whole concept of having stigmas around, you know, who they are and what they do. But I think this is a way to really kind of look at the positive light of that, that whole idea of actually belonging to a group of like-minded individuals that share similar passions and everything like that, because that is something that as a tabletop gamer, I have definitely experienced feeling like I'm actually part of a community. And I imagine for yourself as a tabletop gamer and a witch and a Wiccan, that sense of actually belonging and, you know, knowing that there are others out there like you that you can talk with in shorthand and everything like that. So I figured that's something that we could talk about today to put kind of a, like a positive light on some of the stuff. Because I think sometimes when we talk about things that we share, it's just like, oh, goodness, I am afraid that we all share similar problems in the world. It's just like, no, there's definite benefits to a sense of belonging with others who are like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, starting out with just being part of a community in general, like no matter what community that is, you know, your street, your class, if you go to school, your family, your, you know, if you're, you know, if you feel like you're a part of those things, I mean, sometimes that's not easy. Some people don't feel a part of their neighborhood, like actual physical neighborhood. Some people don't feel a part of their family. Some people don't feel a part of that class, but they are all things that can have community, you know, clubs, groups, religious beliefs, hobbies. Hobbies are a huge one. I think hobbies are a big way where at least here in the United States, I don't know how it is with others, but hobbies, things that we do for fun, are a lot of the ways that we get community here in the United States. You know, I mean, you can get community from a lot of different places. And of course, the benefit of being, you know, part of a community applies to being pagan and a gamer as well. So the big general benefits of you have people you can talk to about things that are important to you. Like that's a huge one, no matter what community you're a part of, you know, you can talk about to people about something that's important to you, depending on what that community is all about. And that's super important for people to have, for sure. You have, resources You know, for if, you know, if it's a hobby, you have hobby resources, you have things that you have access to when you're part of a community. If you're missing something or you need something or you have something to offer, you know, you have an exchange of resources, not only physical resources, but advice, experience, all of those things. So all of those things are just benefits of being part of a community in general. And those definitely apply to gaming and being a pagan. If you're a gamer and you're new to the game, I mean, this is one that we both know. And you meet somebody who's new, who's never played before, and they find your community. And you can teach them things. You can show them things. You can show them how to do things. You can teach them the rope. Show them proper table etiquette. Show them what's the proper way to interact with others at the table. A way that everybody can get along and the game is more fun. You've seen that. I've seen that. You know, people who are new coming in and learning a whole bunch of stuff and having the benefits of people to play with. Because they found the community. And that's the point of it, especially since gaming is such a social hobby anyway. It, you know, it requires other people, you know, like some others do, you know, but it's of a nature that it does require community in a lot of different ways. Or, you know, you need something. Hey, I don't have this book. I need some information for it. Does anybody have it? Hey, yeah, I have that book. You know, you can totally look at it, or I'll copy the piece that you need, you know, whatever happens, you have that resource and you have somebody to go to for advice, you know, like, hey, Todd, I have a problem at my table. This player's doing this, that, and the other thing. What do I do? You know, like all of that is a benefit of being part of the gamer community. You know what I mean? And the Wiccan community, pagan community is the same way. You can go and take classes. You can learn from people. You can learn crafts. You can learn knowledge. You can learn information, get book recommendations. You have people to practice with. You have people who understand the experiences you have as a pagan or Wiccan that people won't. You know, you go to talk to somebody about something that happened to you during a ritual or a celebration or a spell, and a lot of people might not get it. You know what I mean? But the Wiccan pagan community gets it, you know? So those are definitely things that community in general offers, and gaming and community, Wiccan pagan communities offer as well, being a part of it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of benefits to having other people, you know, with similar interests and passions, beliefs and everything like that, you know, to really be able to bounce ideas off of. Like when you were talking about all of that, it really made me think of the expression, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It's almost very similar in that sense. It's like being part of a community that has a shared knowledge base, but from different points of view, different experiences, you know, different directions and everything like that. You really get kind of like a more robust, you know, kind of way of looking at things, you know, to really kind of discover what aspects of things you like, because there's always so many different parts to it. Like even too in tabletop gaming, there's different styles of games, you know, so you could be way more into the tactical combat miniature style games, or you could be much more into the narrative focused, you know, like more indie style, you know, story games and everything like that. And within these larger communities are the smaller subsets, you know, and they tend to overlap in a few other areas. But it's one of those things where I know I find personally speaking, I like to think of what we have here with Covenstead in a sense is kind of like that as well, because and it can be something too where it's like you don't even have to necessarily completely 100% agree on everything. Like in the case of, you know, like, you know, Wicca and witchcraft, they're very much part of your beliefs and your practices, and I am very much curious onlooker, but I still feel very included that those people who I do know are aware of the fact it's just like, I'm not practicing in any way, shape, or form, but I'm very Wicca curious. I'm very witch curious. I have questions. I find things to be really interesting. I like the idea of just being able to ask a person directly. It's like, if I want to know something about how something works or why something is, it's just like, has, you know, oh, is this what it was? I thought it was something is. How do you know, like, I just like the idea of being able to turn to somebody within that community and saying, do I understand this right? Or am I completely off track with this? And then just get like a really direct kind of no BS answer on everything like that. There's just kind of something about it that's also kind of inviting, and you really get that sense of just like, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm asking stupid questions when I have people within one of the various communities I interact with that I can ask directly about it. And especially to, you know, this person tends to do a lot with crystals. I hear them talking about crystals an awful lot. I have a question because I want to get something for my niece who's very much into crystals. So I have somebody that I can go to. But if they don't have the answers, they've got someone else that they can refer me to. Or maybe they've got links on certain blog posts or websites. It's just everyone is like, it's almost like everyone in these communities is a librarian that handles a very particular section. And sometimes they overlap and they work different shifts and everything like that. But it's a really more eclectic way to get, you know, a better knowledge and understanding of whatever it is that that community is about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. You know, it's nice to, even if you're not a part of that community, to know people in that community so that, you know, like you said, you have people to ask about stuff. As far as like being in the specific communities that we're in, I mean, the things that I really get out of like the Wiccan and Pagan community, specifically, I'll start with there, and then we can talk about the gaming community. And, you know, you'll probably have some insight into the Pagan community, too. But the reason why I love it, the reason why I'm part of it, the reason that I was drawn to the religion in the first place, drawn to the practice in the first place, is that it is about accepting. Like, Wiccans and Pagans are some of the most accepting and welcoming people that I know. They just are. No matter who you are or how you go to the group, or if you get invited to something, you know, an open ritual or something like that, or a celebration, or, you know, you're new in town and you're just going to see what the community's like, you're welcomed. You know, you're treated like you've always been there, you know, and that you have a right to be there and that you're valued there. And I'm a member of other communities, as everyone is. I mean, we are all part of different communities in our life and different aspects of our life. You know, how we're defining community is a group of people with a common denominator, you know, a common denominator of some kind, that they have some huge basis of understanding each other. And out of all the ones, you know, I find that Wicca and paganism and that practice, it's just like the most welcoming thing to me. You're there and you feel seen, not to put too fine a point, but you feel like,
yeah,
people know your presence and want your presence there and value what you have to say. And I'll be really honest. I'll be 100% honest, because I feel like I should. Even the gaming community isn't like that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it.
Yep.
It can be. But not all the time. And not for everybody. Gaming does sometimes have a habit of gatekeeping people. We fight against it. You know, telling people they're gaming the wrong way or doing things the wrong way, or you know, the games that they like and everything like that. But, the gaming community can be welcoming. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying it does have an aspect that cannot be, depending. But with the Wicca Pagan community, I never found that. Even if someone is doing something that is hurtful, let's say, even if someone's doing something that's hurtful, I find that the response in the Wiccan and Pagan community is just so how do I want to say, kind, magnanimous. I'm trying to think of a way to say that even when they handle these things, awful, truly tragic things, even the way they handle it is gentle and full of compassion. Compassion. That's what I want the word to be. Compassionate.
Yeah.
Even if someone says something awful or is doing something that is hurtful, I find that even in the response in the pain winking community is compassionate and all of that. And creative people, curious people. Wiccans and pagans are some of the most curious and open-minded people that I know. You know, I don't include, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about myself, even though I do the community. I'm just talking about the people that I know in it and why I'm in it. I'm in it to be a part of that. People in Wiccan and pagan communities, they read. They read, and they read thick texts, and they read children texts, and they read everything. And they're so curious, and they're so wanting to learn about everything. You know, they want to know. They're interested in you and what you have to say and what you know, and they're interested in reading books to find out more. They research and they want to know, and curious, just a curiosity for life and our place in it, and curious about people and curious about how people are the way they are and where they are on their path and everything like that. And yeah, you know, and empowering. I know that's a, you know, but they empower people through that knowledge. To get that knowledge for themselves and be the truest person that they can be, you know, being part of that community, being part of that religion, being part of that practice, feels like all those things to me: learning and compassion and giving yourself strength, strengthening yourself to be the truest version of yourself, finding out who you are. It is at the crux of our practice and our religion. Who are we? Where are we in the universe? Where is our place in it? We are all part of the universe in some small way. Even though it's infinitesimal in the size of the universe, we are all a part of it. What is our part here? And who am I? What gifts can I bring? What knowledge do I bring? How am I contributing to that vast fabric so that years from now, people are more knowledgeable, happier, more comfortable than they were then, because I was there and I had a belief that we should all be and we should all learn and grow and pursue that. Right. But you know, what do you think as someone from the outside, I guess? What's your opinion? That's me from the inside and why I'm a part of it. So it's obviously very deep for me.
Yeah.
But from the outside, what do you feel about the pagan Wiccan community?
You know, the funny thing is that I don't know if I could really say any more that I'm on the outside. I would definitely say that I am just within the outer ring of this community, so to speak, because it has been something that I've now started meeting people specifically because they practice witchcraft, or they're Wiccan, or both, or just pagan in general. But I've also learned that friends of mine who I've known for years also practice or used to practice and have thought about getting back. And then when they found out that I'm working on this podcast, or they found out about Ironbound, when I get into, you know, when I start rambling on about the inspiration behind it. So it's been really neat in that sense where I don't know if I necessarily am like outside looking in anymore. Now I feel more of like, I'm actually sitting on the bleachers watching the game or watching the practice actually happen on the field, rather than I'm on the other side of the fence and I can hear the referee blowing the whistle, kind of stuff like that. I've been watching a lot of football, so some of my metaphors are going to be sports-based. I'm sorry if I'm alienating anybody in this, but anyways, yeah. I found out it's possible for me to watch football year-round nowadays. And it's starting to seep into a lot of my examples. But yeah, I don't really know if I am outside. Place. Yeah, but from my place, I really do. That's the overall kind of sense that I get. The one thing that I really keep hearing is that sense of inclusion. And finally feeling like they belong as part of something. And it really makes me think back to what you said before about, you know, that it's more welcoming and more compassionate than other communities such as tabletop gaming, where I wonder if a community that is more obscure when compared to the mainstream, I think are more precious to those people when they finally do find it, because it's harder. There's probably a good chance that there is more struggle to feel self-acceptance going into it. And then once you have that community, and even if, like I said, like myself, you just kind of feel like, well, I'm on the bleachers. I don't know if I'm actually on the field at this point. But still, there is still a camaraderie that comes with that. You're still, there are others who are sitting there on the bleachers as well. It depends. Maybe the bleachers are packed. Maybe there's just a few scattered people. But it's definitely something where, like, I can totally believe where that compassion comes in, because it provides a sense of identity that I think is something that can be really missing when you feel like you're the only one who feels this way about a certain something, is just as passionate about a certain something. Like, even with me in tabletop gaming, my obsession with game mechanics and how things were made for the longest time kind of had me kind of sitting off to the side a little bit, where it's just like, yeah, I could share and I could talk to certain stuff, but I couldn't really get a good conversation going about the stuff I was really fascinated with when it came to stuff like this. Sometimes we'd start talking to us, what do you think about this game? Others just be like, I thought that was really cool. I liked this part when we were playing that this happened. I liked this part when this was happening. Hey, Todd, what do you think about this game? I find the combat resolution system and how it, you know, it is counterbalanced by initiative and turn order and the entire sequence of events. I find it really interesting and how that all correlates together. And there's just a bunch of nothing but blank fucking looks around the table. It's just like, okay, cool. But the part with the dragon was really cool, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Simply because I find it interesting in how the breath weapon works, you know? So when I started to actually interact with other game designers, and it was just like, oh man, not only are they wanting to answer the questions that I have, but they're going to ramble on just as much as I am. And then we're just going to be like a tornado of ideas, you know? So I really do believe in that. And I do think the more off the beaten path a community might be, I think there's a much greater chance of having that level of inclusion, because I think a lot of people went through a long journey on a very winding road to get to that point and have finally found a place where they can settle, whether or not that community is online, a physical space, whatever the case may be, large, small, massive crowds, or a small, you know, like in this particular case, a small coven of witches that you get to share your time and your experience with. So I can totally believe that.
Yeah, and just incredibly open-minded, you know. Like I said, that comes from that learning and compassionate. So they end up being really open-minded. And I think a big thing that you find, that I find with a lot of religions, is that, and why, again, I was drawn to Wicca and paganism, is that you often aren't encouraged to question. You aren't encouraged to think on things and ask questions and get into debates and discuss and delve deep into why you feel that way or why you think that way about your belief system. And Wicca and paganism is all about that. You're asked to question. It's expected that you question. It's expected that you learn. It's expected that you make mistakes. It's expected that you trip along the path, because unlike some, you know, big religions with a giant cross, shall we say, the ends is not the means. The purpose of our life is the journey of life, is life, not what happens to us after we die. It is the process of living and hurting and making mistakes and being in pain and joy and happy and wonder and awe and all of those things. that is what life is about. And that's what the Wiccan and pagan journey is about. It's not about I'm doing things so I can be in, go to a good place when I die. Wicca is about what can I do now to make the world a better place? What can I do now to make it a more understanding place? What can I do to make it a happier place? You know what I mean? Wicca and paganism is about that journey. It's about life. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. And it's not about the end of the path. It's not about the glen at the end of the path. It is the path itself and the sights that you see and the people you meet and the experiences you have along the way that are the magic, that are the reason why we're here. And it's such a different focus. It's such a different focus than a lot of religions. You know what I mean? And I'm sure, you know, because I don't know enough about all of them to say with confidence. But for me, it is such a central part and not just a byproduct. You know what I mean? Of the religion. Yeah. It is a central part of it. Treat others how you would want to be treated. You know, whatever you send comes back to you. You know, it's about the here and the now and the present. You know what I mean? A lot like, you know, Buddhism in that way, a little bit, you know, you're trying to achieve enlightenment, you're trying to achieve that journey, you know, but even that kind of has an end goal, you know, and there is no end goal here in Wicca. There is no end goal here in paganism. We're not looking for some witchy heaven to go to, you know what I mean? It's that process of living that what makes us here and makes our belief system the way it is. And because of that, we act in certain ways. And I think that's where the compassion and the open-mindedness and the non-judgment and the all of that comes from. Now, it's not to say there aren't judgmental people or gatekeepers or anything like that in the Wiccan community. I just find that in a lot of the other communities that I've been in, it's a lot less. Those who try to do those things don't generally last, you know, in a Wiccan pagan situation, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you find your identity as Wiccan and a witch is stronger now that you're part of that community than it was when you were kind of flying it solo for the first little while? Like it's because I'm a firm believer, especially recently, in that a sense of identity really doesn't come until you have something to identify with and others to identify with. So like, would you agree with that? Yes or no? Do you feel that your sense of identity is stronger because you're part of a community?
It definitely strengthens it. I'd say yes. I mean, you can practice Wicca alone. You can practice paganism alone. I did for the longest time. I didn't meet any others until I was in college. And I was 16 when I started on my path. So a good, 2 years before I even met anybody.
But still, two years as a teenager is like 40 years as an adult.
Yeah, but even when I didn't meet people, I wasn't part of like that community. We were all kind of solo practitioners and we could talk and stuff. But it's not the same. And, you know, but when I did find people and was actually like talking to people in a real way and finding that community and going to events and doing the things and supporting each other, I think it does really solidify that identity. Situating yourself within the community, I think does solidify that in a lot of ways. I think you still need to know who you are, but community helps you find that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can run into problems when you go into community expecting them to dictate who you are instead of going into a community as a learning experience and saying, who do I want to be? And trying that out and not letting the community dictate who you are, but letting the community allow you to express who you are.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. Absolute total sense.
Yeah. Like you can express who you are to that community and they get it because they're in that community too. Gives you a place to express those things and be yourself. So it's strengthening it in the process when you can't be yourself in front of some others. You know what I mean? At least not at that particular aspect of your life if you don't want to. But yeah, it really allows you to express that. It has a venue for you to express yourself in that way and strengthen your identity of like, yes, this is who I am. And the community is a way for you to shout that out, you know, and saying, here I am in the community. This is who I am. And this is why I'm a part of the community. And here I am. And, you know, and all of that. So yeah, that's a long answer to your question, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I do very much. One of the reasons why I brought up the idea for this topic, and I mean, the details are something you know a little bit more about, Danny, but I'm not going to get into any particulars with it right now because now is not the time to get into particulars. But over the last few months, my wife and I have really begun to discover things when it comes to her identity, who she really is, that she has only just really begun to discover and define and identify with, and myself as well. You know, like the two of us have, you know, started to really kind of move into this new community that has been really, so far, very accepting. I mean, like, not always across the board. I think it really depends on how certain things are set up, but there really has been this sense of, you know, kind of like this instant acceptance, or at the very least, you know, that sense of like, oh, this door is open. And, you know, we can be a little bit more kind of, you know, honest and outright and forthright and not be quite so secretive and, you know, ask questions and, you know,
right,
and everything else like that. And it has been a real game changer for us. That sense of, oh, you know what, this is actually, you know, now that we're starting to learn more about, you know, this community, and in doing so, we're starting to learn more about ourselves as individuals and as a couple. That has just really been, it's an experience that I can't compare to anything else in the past. I remember I went to Metatopia, the one time I went to Metatopia, which is like a game design conference more than a convention. And there were high school students and they were filming a documentary. And they went, anyone who wanted to be interviewed, they wanted to about, you know, why they got into game design and everything else like that. And so I agreed because I'm a sucker at being interviewed, as well as doing the interviewing. And one of the questions they got into is like, you know, where do you think you would be if you weren't a part of this community? And I said, it's like, I think I might be dead. And I'm not going to get into the particulars of why or how I would have got there. But I don't know if I would physically be here at this point without having that inclusion. But that is still a different level than what we are going through at the moment with this other community. And I know it sounds really vague and maybe there's some eyebrows that are tweaking up of just like, what's going on here? You don't get to know. Danny has an idea what's going on because Danny's my friend and we've talked. But I'm going to have to just be really vague on this for a while, even if it's a few years.
Well, I was just going to say it's your community of your family, right? A family is a community as well. And a good community allows you to, like I said, identify, show your identity, show who you are, allow you the space to show you who you are. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that happens. And in a good community, in a good group, you're allowed to grow and change and find out new things about yourself. And, you know, it's a bit of a morbid phrase. And I don't remember where I heard it or if I heard it or if it's my own thought, but whatever. We die every day. You are not the same person that you were yesterday as you are today. You're not the same person every hour, every minute, every day. We are constantly changing and reinventing ourselves. You know, within an hour, think of how your life can change. Within a minute, think of how your life can change. You know what I mean? I know you had that accident, right? How long did that take? What was your life before that? Opposed to after. And it doesn't even have to be anything dramatic like that, but it can be. But it can be small things that change in yourself. A small conversation or a small act of love or an offhand comment or anything. And you're changing every minute or every day. Even within this course of this conversation that we're having right now, you and I have changed, right? You've heard me. I've heard you. We're pondering all of that and we are changed because of it, right?
Yeah.
And I think a good community, a community of friends, a community of loved ones, community of family, or a religious community, or a practicing community, or a hobby community, you learn new things every day, and you're changing every day. And a good, healthy community allows you to express who you are every single day and rolls with those changes every day. Because I would feel like I've wasted my life if I am the same today as I was at 25, or even a month ago, or even a year ago. You know what I mean? I don't want my life to stagnate in that way. I want my life to be constantly changing like a kaleidoscope and showing all those colors, you know, and changing every second, every moment. And they're all beautiful and they're all different. And you need each pattern to get into the next pattern, right? You need each person you were to change into the person that you are now, you know?
Yeah. 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 And I know that's been something. Yeah, I know. We're getting like really like metaphysical on this one. It's awesome. I'm loving it. Especially too, is like, what was the last one we talked about? Horror movies and how to scare the shit out of your players. Next week, we're going to talk about the presence of being in the multiverse, you know?
yeah, we're talking about identity. Who yeah. are you? Why are we here? What's the meaning of life?
Yeah, yeah. It's been one of those things where the timing of everything too is really, like for me, has been really, it's been baffling of, you know, like of all the times for this to be coming out, because this has been while, you know, my identity as a game designer has really been kind of, big giant question mark has been on that. It's just like, you know, am I a game designer if I'm like stressing the shit out of myself? You know, like I've really realized that I've had a self-abusive relationship when it comes to professional game design, in the sense where it's like, I love it and I'm very passionate about it. But at the same time too, I keep beating the shit out of myself in order to get there. And in that sense, I realize now it's like I haven't actually been enjoying the ride. So I've been going through, I mean, midlife crisis, identity crisis, you know, it's kind of all part and parcel kind of stuff like that. And then in the midst of all this, to then really start to get this idea of just like, oh, wait, there's another way of doing things. There's something else that, you know, I can belong to. I'm not solely defined by this one thing kind of, you know, it's just really, really kind of made me think of just like, but by starting to interact with a new community that has this kind of like a pull that I don't even quite understand myself at the moment, it has really led me to really ask myself really important questions of, well, who am I really, and what is it that I'm looking for in these other interests and passions of mine? What is it specifically that I'm looking to get out of game design? Am I solely doing it because I want the recognition? I want to make money, you know, or any of this other more kind of superficial reasons, you know?
Right.
Or is it something where there's actually something deeper that's underneath, but I haven't really paid attention to that kind of stuff. It's really having that sense of belonging gives you a reason to really kind of reflect on who you are as an individual and how you want to be a part of all that, however it is that may be, you know. And that could be something that applies actually in gaming as well. It's just like, I don't know what the hell it is, but I'm just not enjoying what I'm playing at the moment. And I don't understand it. I've been playing this for 20 years. Well, is it that you don't enjoy playing anymore, or is that you don't enjoy what you're playing or how you're playing? Mm-hmm. You know, it when you have a community that you can kind of, you just kind of put out there and say, I feel lost. I feel I'm just not getting the same excitement. I'm still not getting the same thrill anymore. And there are people who are just be like, oh, you know, like, you know, I've kind of noticed that too. Your enthusiasm hasn't quite been all there. I've been wondering, could it maybe be this? You get some ideas, you kind of get to bounce things off of people because it turns out that each of them have gone through that at some point in time. Everyone's taken a break from something and then come back to it later or given it up completely and said, you know what? No, that's actually not for me anymore. I've kind of grown out and past that point. But it's one of those things where I used to try and internalize everything and try and process and figure all this stuff out myself. And in doing so, it turns out that I was feeding myself some very wrong answers. I have come to realize that I have control issues, that my way of coping with everything that has gone on in my life has been more so about controlling it and trying to stay ahead of the curve, basically laying down the tracks just in front of the train. And that to me was like, there, I have focus, I have purpose and everything else like this. But when it turns out, no, I didn't. And as soon as the train actually like nudged me and hit me in the butt, everything fucking fell apart. And having people that I can kind of talk to or just kind of read what they're writing, listen to what they're saying and just be like, huh, that feels similar to like what I'm kind of going through at the moment. That just that sense of knowing that there are other people who are going through something like this or have gone through something like this, it does a lot to help you feel normal, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. That sense of, I might not be like everybody, but I'm a lot like these people over here, and I don't feel quite as excluded anymore. I don't feel like I'm standing on my own. I feel like I'm part of something larger than myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who we are is the great question of life and always changing, you know, and it's never easy, you know. I'm sure people didn't tune in expecting to be talking about a heavy topic. Hey, it's games and magic. Whee! But here we are.
Yeah.
So, and what we choose and what we don't choose is really important. And we have to look at our choices, as you say, and be like, is this what I want? What am I truly? Because we can so get into, sometimes we are so convinced of what our identity is. You know, people make something their whole identity, right? And if they were ever to question it, it kind of creates this cascade of self-doubt, right? And we should be willing to say, this served my purpose at that time in my life. This was something that I needed to happen. I learned from it. I am a different person because of it, but now it is not serving that purpose anymore. And moving on from it, you know, and I'll be honest, that's a big thing in the gaming part as well. Not just yourself, but if we're talking about the gaming industry, a lot of people have been feeling that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been a lot of that. It's been a lot of that. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? Am I having fun anymore? You know, like, am I doing it because I love it still? Or do I feel like I'm so entrenched I can't get out now and say no? And I think, you know, and why that is, I mean, let's talk about gaming as a community. We talked about, you know, but man, the gaming community has changed so much very recently.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of it. That's a part of it. I mean, the gaming community was one thing for so long from when it's kind of started, you know, at least the role-playing game community, like in the 80s, you know, from what it was then to what it's become in the past few years. Now we have streaming and we have, you know, Critical Role, we have cartoons, maybe we have movies, you know, an actual decent movie, not just a, you know, half-assed one, but a decent movie.
Yeah.
Of the hobby. And that, those things, that expanding of the audience, you know, you know, we have Chris Pine in this, for Christ's sake, you know, like, I think the last one had Jeremy Irons, but I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, when you have all of a sudden that expanding audience and the platforms are changing, I think that does create sort of an identity crisis in the community itself. Like, how, where do I fall now that we have streaming and people are doing mostly PDFs now, and we're not sitting around the table as much anymore. Rather, we're doing things through a computer screen, you know? Where is my place in that? I think are valid questions that the community is asking itself, you know? And how do you deal when a whole community is trying to change its identity, right? Trying to change what we were to what we're going to be. And a bunch of people are vying for dominance in that. A bunch of ideas and opinions of what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and all of that stuff is difficult. It's difficult. And I think, you know, you pointed out, and I think what you really need to ask, get back to the basic question. Rather than dealing with the complicated stuff of how do I as a creator create when streaming is mostly it, and that's not what I'm used to, how do I fit myself into this marketing? But instead, asking yourself the basic questions of, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Am I happy? Am I happy? And how can I be happy with these things that are going on, you know? And be ready for the answer being, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, be ready for that answer or be willing to change based off whatever you find out about yourself. The ability to be honest with yourself, no matter what community you're a part of, your family, hobbies, your work, whatever it happens to be, the ability to be honest with yourself and self-reflect and ask yourself what you really, really want. Thanks, Spice Girls. is the question. Be honest. Be truly honest with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself and say, am I happy here? And how can I be if I'm not?
Yeah.
And be ready to accept the answers that you give yourself. Because part of being, people aren't honest with themselves, I think, because they're afraid of the answers. You know?
Yeah.
If the answers were easy, everybody would be honest with themselves, right? They'd be totally honest about what they do and don't like, what they do and don't want. But that's sometimes the answers frightens you because what you are now is more comfortable than changing. Change is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And changing identities or a part of your identity or how you view things is uncomfortable. And that's why people aren't honest with themselves, because they're afraid of the answers. And the only way I can say to deal with that is to say, be okay with the answers. Be okay with saying, I'm not happy in this anymore. I'm a different person. I don't need this anymore. Because I think often people think those answers and changing means that they failed somehow.
Yeah.
You know? And I know I've talked about before, I can't remember which episode, but that forever is a ridiculous concept to achieve, right? I'm going to do this forever. This is who I am forever. It's an impossible task to achieve. And somehow our society has revered it. And saying, yes, this lasts forever. You know, you'll find your thing and you're going to do it for the rest of your life. And we don't celebrate changing and being honest with ourselves and being honest with ourselves changing as we need to be, because change has been stigmatized as a bad thing. It means you failed somehow if you have to change, right? Because you didn't know what your thing going in was, right? So you made a mistake, you know? People use it often with like majors in college, right? Like you go into a major in college and then change your mind and people give you guff about it, right?
Yeah.
But people don't remember the fact that you're like 16 or 17 when you pick that stuff out. Who knows shit at 16 or 17? I didn't know shit at 16 or 17. Like, I don't understand why we place so much on forever and knowing things. It's this discordancy, because it's this dissonance in your brain where we know things change. We know we're not the same person. We know this. We feel it. We would not have these expectations of other people, right? But we have them of ourselves for some reason, that I need to get it right the first time. I'm always going to be wanting this. I'm always going to be doing this. And I'm always going to be doing it the exact same way, right? And that's not true. It's just not true. You know, even writers who write their whole lives and love writing, their writing changes because they change. They're not going to write the same type of book at, you know, 20 or in their 20s as they do when they're a 40-year-old author, right? You just don't, you know? And we need to accept that and celebrate it. Like, I'm glad you discovered a new thing about yourself. I'm glad you can be a little closer to being who you are. You know, Dolly Parton said, find out who you are and then do it on purpose, yeah. You know? And life is a constant process of that. Finding out who you are and then doing it on purpose. And sometimes that changes, like, and we need to embrace that and be okay with that and not stigmatize it or think lesser of someone who does do that, because yeah. It's change and it's growth and it's a beautiful thing. And we should celebrate that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's also something too, when you are in the right community, that even when you're thinking of leaving it, and that community says, no problem, we understand, it was great having you, you know, keep in touch, you know, best of luck with everything else, you know, we had great times. Because, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I basically made the decision that it's like, no, my freelance days are done. There's one person I'm going to help out with because I truly believe in the project that they're doing. And it's also very simple to do. But I started to realize that it was just like, no, I'm actually creating, I'm just making myself anxious because I'm trying to balance my new life with my old life. But somehow, for some reason, I'm still trying to hang on to my old life that I said I was getting rid of and everything like that. So when I made the call and then, you know, basically kind of announced publicly, it's just like, no, I'm done. I stopped. I notified my clients effective immediately, me out. And I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't know if I'm going to do it again. I don't know if I'm ever going to finish any of the projects I worked on. I just don't want to think about it right now. I need to deal with this other stuff. And the outpouring of support was so rewarding that it really kind of made me even rethink. It's just like, I don't think I want to completely leave. I just want to feel more comfortable and actually enjoy doing what I'm doing here. Because that kind of acceptance of like, hey, you do what you got to do. You are more important than us in that sense. You taking care of yourself is more important than us. It really goes a long way to really kind of, you know, just, it's just that extra little bit of help, reassurance, just that little bit of positivity that just goes such a long way, you know, that it's,
right.
Yeah, it's weird. There's so much of it that's kind of circling in my head, and I'm still parsing how it works for me, let alone having it come out of my mouth.
Right. You know, and gaming and the gaming community, I find tends to be a little resistant to change certain aspects of it. You know, I'm mostly on the indie side, so we're all about being rebels, you know, all about being, you know, we don't need your dice. We don't need your sticking characters.
Pages and pages of tables and charts. No. We've got a way that handles it with a simple D6 roll, you know?
Yeah. We don't need any of that. So, you know, that's the community, but a large majority of them are, you know, resistant to changing things up a little bit. So it can be hard it can be hard when you're trying to do something different. And a community who has, you know, always liked the way things are. And that's why when streaming came about and all this other stuff, we have such a shift, you know what I mean? And it was just like, wait a minute, what's happening, you know? And yeah. And everybody's scrambling to try to figure out who they are in that area, you know? Myself included, you know, like, you know, I mean, where am I at in this, you know? Where's my love of things, you know? Do I really want to be... I love performing. I'm an actress and stuff like that, you know? But do I want that in my gaming life? I don't know, you know? Because I think we can both agree playing on stream is way different than any experience you have at a table. It just is.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a different set of rules. It's a different... vibe, you know, you're performing and you're on stage and having to do things and entertain, you know, when that's not really what it's about when you're just at a table by yourselves, you know, with your group. And do I want that in my gaming life? You know, when I get on stage and I act or, you know, whatever, I know that's what I'm doing. I know that's what's happening. And it's set up to do that and stuff. But do I want that in my gaming? What is gaming to me? And does streaming and performing and that aspect of it fit into what I want my gaming to be? And I don't know as if it does. You know, I did it. I did it on Rook and Rasp. And don't get me wrong. It was a great experience. It was a great experience. We had a good game. I had very engaged players. It was great. We did by leaps and bounding. We did 7C.
Yeah.
However, it was a different experience. I don't regret it. I don't. But there was a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure that there just isn't in your own game, in your home game, and playing in your own game. Because a big aspect of gaming for me is my friends. And the people I love to play with. And us telling a story that's just ours, you know? That's just us. Right? No one else knows it. We know it. We know that story. We're doing it. We're bonding. Right? And to me, we're bonding and telling stories. And that is a powerful thing. And I just... It's not there. It's not there for me in streaming. It's just not. You know, and I have to be honest with myself about that. What am I in the industry for? I'm in the industry to create things where other people can have that experience, right? Other people can have something to bond with their friends and create their stories. That's just them and personal and create the long, long since we first toddled out of the primordial soup has been something that humans do. We tell stories, you know? And I wanted to be a person who can provide a way for people to do that via storytelling, via either my books or my games or anything. And I just don't know, you know, and that's identity, right? They're talking about identity and you've talked about how it changes. I've talked about how it changes. But the thing that I love, and this is going to be, I mean, we didn't want it to turn negative, and I don't think these things are negative. I don't. No. I refuse to believe that they are negative. You know, they aren't. They aren't. It's life. We're changing. I've changed. I'm 44 years old this year. Like, I can't, you know? Like, it's not the same. It's not the same. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And, but I love that the gaming community has so many ways to be involved. That's a great thing about it. People will accommodate you. You know, there's so many ways because there's so many things that you can do with a game, so many ways you can participate that, you know, there's got to be something for everybody. And the creativity in the gaming community, second to none, I'll be honest. Like, everyone is just so damn creative. You know, I find myself so often thinking, fuck, why didn't I think of that? You know, like... So creative, you know, it inspires that jealousy, you know, like, damn, you know, that's so good. why didn't I think of that, you know? And so it's so good being part of that creative community. It makes you creative being around other creatives. It makes you want to go out and do stuff. You see good art, no matter what it is, a game, a story, anything, and it makes you want to do that too. And gaming is so accessible for that, of doing your own thing and being creative and getting ideas and being inspiration for other people's ideas and stuff, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I agree. It's been one of those things where it's like, you know, as I've been reflecting on, you know, like, well, what is it that I don't want from my gaming anymore? What is it that maybe I feel might be missing? Or, you know, how did I used to feel about gaming? What was it that always gave me, you know, excitement and enjoyment? What gave me joy, you know, compared to now? And the thing that I really started thinking about, the first thing that came to mind when I really started thinking is like, why did I do this in the first place? Before I said, I'm going to make something and put it out there for others to find. And it was like, the first thing that popped into my head was that I used to make like movie trailers for my games. I used to make cinematic intros. I find a
That's
piece
so
of music
cool.
and get art and I would cut it together. So back when I used to do D&D 3rd Edition, I ran my own homebrew world that I called Shadow World. And the entire concept is that basically it was a prison world, that there is a spell out there that is used to execute prisoners, guilty people, or, you know, if you tried to overthrow the king or some kind of thing like that, political reasons, any number of stuff. And the idea is that the people who were casting the spell thought it would actually destroy the person's body, like turn them into ash that blows in the wind. But when in fact, what it did was it actually teleported them to this prison world where they were stuck and they were locked there. And they had these marks on their body called shadow marks that basically kept them locked to the world. But also in doing so, allowed them to tap into the world's power, so it gave them extra abilities. And the whole point of this is like, there's a way out of here. There's rumors of a way, there's a portal over here. And if we go through the portal, we're going to be able to go back home. And so it was that kind of a story. And I used to have every single session had its own trailer. I had that kind of time to actually make something and customize it. And I would make handouts for my players, you know, because I was taking print media at the time. So I had access to all this printing equipment and graphic software and everything like that. So I would make these specific handouts. And that's the part was just like, man, I miss that little element of, you know, the games that I would run. And they wouldn't be something that I, you know, I would use very copyrighted music. There's no way I could distribute that. No way. But I miss doing that, being able to put that kind of focus into the individual game, the session, mm-hmm. rather than the product is right. something that is, I really miss doing that on a more personal level and getting that personal immediate reaction of like, man, every time I hear that theme song, boom, my head is in
hyped.
The game.
Yeah.
I'm in it and I know exactly yeah. what it is, you know, and everything like that. And it's, so it's
Oh yeah.
It's opportunities to kind of go back and like, yeah, what do I miss that I don't seem to do anymore? Because now I'm caught up in all this other stuff. And then how can I get there and get back to it? And that's the part I'm right. looking forward to. Like I'm also looking forward to playing stuff more and not having that responsibility of being the GM and the uh-huh. one who runs the game, spearheads it, keeps all the NPCs moving in the background and stuff. It's like, no, I want to enjoy playing.
yeah.
And it's also too, I learned this from my trip to Nashville. We were always out and about and I wasn't near any of my comfort food or any of my, you know, like my typical stuff. Everything was new. And I really enjoyed the actual act of physically going out to a place and trying something new that I hadn't tried before, surrounded by other people.
Uh-huh.
And as someone who I thought was always a bit of a shut-in, I like to be alone, you know, kind of stuff like that, just leave me to my space. Like, if anyone has ever seen where I lived, you don't see anybody else where I live. You can uh-huh. hear them in the distance sometimes, but you don't see anybody, that sense of absolute privacy. And now it's kind of like, no, I actually do like going out and mingling around people. under the right circumstances mm-hmm. and everything like that. So it can be a really right. good opportunity to say, no, who is it? I think I've strayed off course a little bit. What is it that I really want to get back to? What was it that got me excited about this kind of stuff mm-hmm. and still be able to find it and tap back into it? Even if it's just like, you know what? What's the first game I ever ran? First edition D&D, boom, break out the old books, download the PDFs, whatever the case may be, and get back into the classics, so to speak. You know, that's the stuff mm-hmm. that really kind of gets me going. Yeah, the obscure rules where sometimes you're rolling lower and sometimes you're rolling higher. What the fuck? You know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Where it's just like, you know what? Sometimes there is a pleasure in the sense of this, like, for me, these mechanics, I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. But you know what? We're still having fun doing it. So I'm just going to roll with the punches.
Yeah, but you know what? We're doing it. We're here.
Yeah, we're doing it, and it's working for us. So who cares?
Well, it was in Zoolander. Zoolander. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Owen Wilson plays a model. And he's dumb as hell. And there's one point, and he's like, do I know why I'm here? No. Do I know what I'm selling? No. But I'm here. Yeah. And it's just like, you know? Well, I'm going to surprise you and say we've gone a little over.
No.
I know. It's shock and awe, right?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Well, so any last bits? I mean, who are you, Todd? I mean, that's what we're trying to sum up here. Who are we?
You know what? I don't even know if I really know for sure, to tell you the truth, but I know what I want to try, and I know what I want to do, and it's having communities to really kind of, you know, look on and reflect on, model myself after, be inspired by, and everything like that. It's important. You know, like, we're social creatures, but at the same time, too, you know, like, I like things that I find interesting that are off the beaten path. I like people who are different and unique, and, you know, they have things, they have interests that some people might just be like, what? But that's, for me, is kind of like a really interesting, you know? So that's, yeah. And it's been nice in the sense where it's like, these communities that I'm part of are very much like that. Like, these are people, you know, in all the various walks of life that I'm a part of, where it's just like, there's always something about them that I want to know more about. And it's just, yeah, it's interesting. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's amazing what you can kind of discover about yourself when you are part of these communities and stuff, things that you might not have been able to kind of put your finger on before, but then suddenly when you do, it's just like, oh, that makes so much sense. Now I can finally explain what's been in my head that I'm just rambling about, and it's so difficult to understand. Now I can just kind of point to this over here and say, that's what it is right there. Someone else has explained it for me, and that nails it perfectly on the head, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing community is good for. I said, you know, it allows you to show yourself, but it also shows you the options that you may not know were there. You know, it shows you like, hey, is that something I want to do? Is that something I want to be a part of? You know, how does that feel? You know, it allows you to expand your horizon in that way by meeting so many different people in your community and saying, wow, I never knew that was a possibility. You know, that's great. You know, I mean, my final thought is, I guess in saying it's a journey, you know, I mean, the cliche of life's a journey, not a destination is one of the tenets of my life. It's a journey. It is a journey. Make it a beautiful one. Make it an interesting one. Make it a loving one. Make it a compassionate one. And all of that stuff. There's a quote, and I forget who said it. All our lives are stories. Make yours a good one. You know, I apologize because I'm sure it's a really awesome author that wrote that. So I apologize to them. Maybe I'll find out and have him put it in the notes. Todd put it in the notes of the episode. But yeah, so I hope we haven't gotten anybody into an existential crisis listening to this, because this is quite a heavy episode. You know, who we are, even though these are just hobbies, you know, in terms of gaming. But for me, you know, and the religion is the important part, but these are who we are. And who we are is like the most important thing about ourselves. And so it's important. It's important to really do what you do what you love, give it justice by treating it with respect and asking yourselves those questions. But anyway, until then, until next time, wish you a little magic in your gaming and a little gaming in your magic.
The Covenstead Podcast was created and produced by Danielle Delisle and Todd Crapper. Theme music written and composed by John Thompson from the Rook and Rask channel on Twitch. Definitely check them out. Special thanks to all of our backers: Alex, Tim Brannan, Chris Atrata, Century Guild, Nicholas Diak, Fool's Moon Entertainment, Kaboom.com, minus five O's, no apologies, Brian P. Kurtz, Jason LeDuc, Civ Light, Revna, Derek Simsek, Danielle Thomas, Phil Watson, Jacob Wood, and Victor Wyatt. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.